I'm sorry.
That's Booby.
And Vita.
Vita
and Chip.
That's Sody. We'll figure this out eventually.
You're supposed to be saying two. This is Sody and Booby, is what you can say. I don't know
why this is so complicated. Shout out to Bricktown Media. We are continuing the Tool extravaganza into the album Enigma.
Yep.
This is H.
Yeah.
Period.
That's it. Just H.
That should be interesting.
Yep.
Okay, let's do it. Do you hear that?
No. I was shoving stuff into my ears.
Okay.
And go.
We'll be right back. Whoa.
Was that about a relationship that's over, but keeps coming back to him?
I think it's a kid.
A kid?
What's coming through is alive. What's holding up is a mirror.
Yeah.
So it's... sounds like a birth, and then holding up is a mirror.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the kid looks like you. You know, like how Sailor is like a mini story.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like he's trying to deal with, you know, having a child and all that. That's what it looks like to me.
Really?
I feel connected to you.
I am days too connected.
Days
to you
away,
too.
I still feel you.
Touching me, changing me. Considerately killing. I don't know. And the snake is drowned. Okay, go back up to the top. We talked about a snake in the first thing.
I don't think so, babe.
And what singing snake? Songs is a snake looking to turn my piss to wine?
What do you mean? Snake what?
Here.
You said snake in the first verse?
Yeah.
So what do you think, what's coming through is alive, what's holding up is a mirror. What do you think that means?
Maybe it's reflecting back to himself. Parts of himself that he doesn't... Maybe the relationship is reflecting parts of himself that he wishes he couldn't see of himself.
My blood before me begs me, open up my heart again.
Yeah, I think that things aren't not good. The snake behind me hisses what my damage could have been because maybe he's out of the relationship and that voice is telling him, like, stay away from it. It's not, like, a good thing. But my blood before me, so the snake behind him hisses telling him the damage could have been. My blood before me begs me, open up your heart again. So, like,
what's
I think
blood?
That, like, just inside, like, what's running through him, I think is, open up your heart again
but
to this
it's
person.
It's before him. It's not inside of him.
Yeah, like, in other words... Like, it has more of an influence over him because it's in front of him where the snake is behind him. Like, the voice behind him is saying, stay away from that.
His blood?
My blood before me, yeah? What do you think? You think it's the kid?
It's a kid. It's a family member. It's this child saying, something bad happened before, but now I'm in front of you, so open up your heart again.
So you think the kid keeps wrecking his life?
Well, it says here, my blood before me begs me, open up my heart again. He's looking at a child. And his child is saying, well, open your heart to me. I know bad stuff happened before, but you're my dad.
That's what do you think looking to turn my piss to wine is?
Well, he's talking about, what I'm saying is, he's having a child.
Yeah.
But he's struggling with the fact that he had a bad upbringing. And that he probably sees himself as a bad person.
Bad upbringing?
Well, the snake behind me. So that's what happened before. So, he had a bad, whoever was influencing him before was bad and made him close off his heart, mm-hmm. which works fine until you have a kid, in which case you can't do that with your kid.
Does he have any kids?
Oh, maybe, yeah, he's got a couple kids.
He does?
Yeah, we did a song where he was singing to his kid.
Oh.
Like way back.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So, I mean, that's just my theory on it. But you're thinking it's a relationship?
Yeah, I thought it was a relationship.
Well, I'm saying it's a relationship too, but you're talking about girlfriend-boyfriend?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, how does that relate to my blood before me begs me open up my heart again?
Because when you talk about, you make my blood boil, you know, stuff like that, like, it's not like, literally, like, that's what I thought it was.
I'm not literalizing either.
Well, no, but you're saying... that it's literally a kid standing in front of him. I just thought it was like the voice behind him saying like the damage from this could have been much worse. But then his blood is in like what runs through his veins. Like, you know, you say, oh, you're running through my veins and stuff like that. Like the phrases that people use for like somebody that's like really like got a hold of them. I thought that's what it was talking about. Like,
I mean, it could be. But I agree. When you say what my damage could have been, and I think in order for him not to be as damaged as he could have been in the past, he closed his heart off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then his kid is saying, well, that's not going to work in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to open your heart again.
Right. I mean, I guess.
But you're saying
isn't there some bad relationship or something? Like, His dad wasn't around or something like that?
Well, his mom was always sick.
Yeah, but I thought, like, there was, like, this thing where he got sent to his dad.
Yeah, he got sent to his dad.
It was, like, a bad thing, or...
I think his stepdad was abusive, and then he went to live with his real dad.
I don't know. Help us out, guys, because...
Okay, so let's just interpret it from the two separate paths. So, and okay. So go down the line on your path, and I'll go down the line
on mine. Well, I didn't know what the piss thing was. Oh, you mean just go from where we are?
Well, turning my piss to wine, I mean, that's obviously an inversion of turning water to wine.
Yeah.
What's holding up is a mirror. So go ahead.
I don't know what it means. Even in your interpretation, I don't know what... Looking to turn my piss to wine, they're both totally void of hate. That doesn't make any sense to me. But killing me just the same.
Well, what singing songs is a snake? Wouldn't that be himself? Because he's the one that sings songs?
The snake behind him hisses.
I'm looking at verse 1.
Well, yeah, he sings.
Looking to turn my piss to wine. Like, he's taking what's, you know, gross and what should be, you know, excreted from his body into something that he can, that you can ingest, that's good. Which is what he does with his music.
Oh.
Right? And in my view, the kid and his music are both void of hate. It's coming from a place of love, but they're both killing him.
Oh.
His music is killing him.
Okay, I have no interpretation for that. Okay.
His music is killing him, but so is the kid, because the kid is making him open up his heart when he doesn't want to.
Hmm.
Which, of course, the music is another form of opening up his heart, but
for sure.
He can control the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
Whereas with the kid, you can't do that with a human being.
Nope.
But the music is also killing him in the sense of he has to revisit all the pain and suffering that, you know, that created the music in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So the music is killing him, even though it's coming from a place of love.
Yep.
And the kid is killing him because the implications of, you can't do that to a kid. You can't close your heart off to your kid.
Yeah.
Just to protect yourself.
Yep.
But he's done it for so long that, you know, it's a fearful...
That's pretty sad. If that's scary. What you're talking about when he says, my blood before me begs me, open up my heart again.
Yeah?
It's just sad that a kid would have to even do that.
Well, I don't think the kid is saying... I think that the kid's just born. Because he says what's coming through is alive.
Oh.
So what I'm thinking is the kid is just born, and the kid is begging it in the sense of, you know...
You see that, and it just...
Yeah.
The kid
speaks a lot to you.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, I don't think that he has to say any words. But there's a lot of nonverbal communication that happens between a father and a kid, especially your firstborn, mm-hmm. especially if it's a boy. You know what I mean? That I remember holding Dorian for the first time. And,
you know, why, especially if it's a boy?
Well, if you had father issues, if you had issues with your dad,
mm-hmm.
and you never had a dad to help you grow up or whatever, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just completely projecting here. I never had a dad growing up, as far as, you know, whatever, they did their best, whatever. I'm just saying, it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, being able to hold my own son and being like, okay, I'm going to get a chance to be there for him and you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said a lot of stuff to him that's a me and him thing. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just it's a really special moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they say a lot to you, even though you're not,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I could be completely off, but that, I mean, that's my, this whole thing is my experience.
Yeah.
You know, like, the snake behind me hisses, because even though I'm saying he's a snake in verse 1, but if it's talking about your father, then you've inherited your snaky father's nature.
Yeah, and he said, like, before he's saying, like, his blood before me begs me, so then that means he also has the blood behind him, which would be the snake metaphor.
Right. Is your, you know, which you, I remember, you know, I told the story about driving away from the hospital with Dorian the first time and thinking to myself, like, because we spent 3 days in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to, like, chill out there. Because, you know, the nurses show up and they go, okay, this is, so I'd say, is this good? This good? Yeah, and yeah. Oh, am I holding him right? Yeah. They're like, oh, yep, you're good. Da 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 da. And like, oh, this is the way that, you know, I was afraid that I was putting on the thing for the diaper too tight. And I had this thing, I was like, I'm going to cut off his circulation. He's going to have no legs, blah, blah, blah. They're like, nope, that's good. You know, that's good. And then the guy overcompensated, was too loose, he's messing with it. I was like, oh, what's that? You know, like, so I had all these, like, you know, oh, whatever. And they're like, no, this is how you do it. You're doing blah, blah, blah. So then, like, when I put him in the car seat to drive away, I'm like, fuck.
Yep.
I'm not going to have the nurse lady to tell me how to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, what to do.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of, like, you know.
Did you guys have friends at the time that kind of helped you? Like, you know how, like, most...
yeah,
most,
but,
like, families, like, the mom will, like, come over and stay for, like, 2 weeks to help.
Well, her mom came over.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was weird because, like, the nurses and stuff, I was good with. The other people, I'm like, they don't know what they're, you know, talking about.
She gotta get them her own.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. That is so opposite of, like, me. I feel like, oh, the nurses are just being taught what they've been taught this year. But my mom has had 3 kids.
Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah, this one I'll be a lot more laid back and fun, but, I mean, nobody will touch him. So...
Good thing you guys are just on the other side of the screen. You'll get to see the little guy. We don't have to tell you, wash your hands.
Yeah, yeah. Wash your, nothing.
Eyes!
Virtual, yeah.
Okay. And you had been through a lot. So did you feel like that? Open up your heart again, sort of thing?
No. I didn't really, there was never, I immediately opened my heart to all the kids. Like, yeah. I never.
You love kids, though.
I don't love kids. I love my kids.
You always loved Selah.
I always loved Selah. But that's
and not... all the kids that would come around you, you always picked them up and.
What are you talking about? I wouldn't even hold Selah when y'all brought her from the hospital. Remember that? You're trying to get me to hold her? I'm like, no.
You're like, her pointing at her.
Yeah, it's like,
said she was very symmetrical.
Yeah, she was an incredibly symmetrical, like, young lady.
I was like, okay, that's a very weird thing to say, but I had to, like, time had to, like, go by for, like, me to process that, because everybody was saying, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, she looks like a little doll, and, like, you were like, she's very symmetrical. It was, like, very, the thing is with you, if you, now people are going to get offended, if you were, like, you know, like, looked like a stereotypical nerd, and you said the things that you said, it would just make sense, but you're, like, you're broad, you're muscular, you're handsome, and then you say these very, like, things that, like, somebody that would be very nerdy would say, and so, like, it takes a bit of time to process, because you're, like, who says that? You have a very symmetrical baby. Have you ever in your life heard anybody say that? Anyway, it took me some time to realize, like, how important symmetry is in regards to beauty. So I was like, oh, that was, like, a nice compliment. I just thought it was, like, sometimes, like, we used to do this thing. Totally sidetracking here. We used to do this thing where I always thought all babies were ugly. Like, I never saw a baby that I thought was cute. The only babies that I thought were cute, actually, were brown babies. I felt like they were cute from the beginning, but past that, all the white babies are just ugly. And I thought that everybody was pretending. And that everybody was like, oh, what a pretty baby. Even though inside everybody was like, ugh.
Dorian was extremely beautiful.
But he was brown. So anyway.
He wasn't that brown when he was first born.
Yeah, but he's not white.
He was extremely beautiful.
So anyway.
Because he was symmetrical.
This is what I thought, right? So I'm like, we would say, what did you say when you saw the baby? And then somebody would be like, well, I just said that the baby had really pretty eyes. So that was like, because you don't want to say, you don't want to lie and say, oh, what a pretty baby, because you don't think the baby's pretty. So you just find one feature.
Why would you lie about that? Of all the things to hold the line on honesty about.
Well, I try to be a very honest person. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, like, I mean...
To a fault. Sometimes I give way too much information to people I shouldn't give information to just because, excuse me, I'm trying to be honest. So anyway, so yeah, we would just find something. Oh, what a cute nose. Oh, whatever. And so when you said that, I was like, oh, he must think that she's ugly. And so he's just like focusing on the symmetry. Oh, she's very symmetrical. But I didn't know there was a correlation between the two.
That's the essence of beauty.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. So
symmetry and complexity.
I was like, he thinks my baby's ugly. Get the fuck out of my house. No, I wasn't saying that back then.
And you were trying to tell me to hold her. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't like kids. I like my kids.
I wonder why I wanted you to hold her.
I don't know. I love my kids.
Probably because you were my friend, because I didn't really want people holding her.
Well, I had written in my journal that you were worried about fertility issues.
Yeah, so that's probably... You always knew those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's weird. Anyway.
So...
yeah.
So, you know, it was probably like, hey, you know, you prayed this kid into...
Yeah.
But I had no interest in holding the baby. Plus, I didn't think it was wise for you to do that. She had just gotten home, and I didn't want to contribute to that foolishness.
I literally don't even remember it, because I had so much postpartum.
You guys had just gotten home. It was like 3 or 4 days. And I'm like, she's already got people touching her baby. Nobody touched my kid for like two... Nobody touched Dorian for like literally a month. I wouldn't take any... The only visitor that was there was her mom. No church, none of that. I didn't go to church, because I knew people were gonna, you know.
Oh yeah,
they all do. White people.
You know what they do? They friggin' put their finger in your kid's mouth.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Why are you good?
Yes, that happens so many times.
You good?
I'd be like, why are they doing that? And nasty
let that
people.
Happen. You let that shit happen.
He was always doing
Is
that.
Doing this thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I saw him cook, and he went for long.
Halas. It was gross. That's why I stayed home for weeks and weeks.
Oh, it was smart. I was too religious to do such a thing.
Venomous voice tempts me, drains me, bleeds me, leaves me cracked and empty, drags me down like some sweet gravity. So it's going back and forth between between being a new person.
See, I thought that this was the girl.
I just think it's like it's.
No, I think your interpretation is probably right.
It's just this back and forth between his fears and his... I probably would have done that, but I already decided very young that there was one particular night when it was my stepdad. Mm-hmm. I was having one of the giant jihads that I usually have with my mom, and I was like, I lost it, and I was like, you know, going ballistic. And my stepdad usually stayed out of it.
What does that mean, ballistic?
I was very angry. Like I think I was like going through the wall and punching holes in the wall, like crazy. And my mom was funny because she was scared. Looking back now, she was scared of me. Now I would have.
How old were you?
I was 16, 17.
Oh my gosh.
Looking back now, I realized that she was afraid of me when I was like, when I would get to that.
Because
I was, like I said, yeah, I was extremely, you know, violent. I would have never thought to be violent to her.
Right.
But I was, you know, extremely violent. So I would go out and we'd pick fights and whatever, because, you know, I wasn't going to touch my mom. But there was one time it was like, something happened. I think we got in a fight over System of a Down or something like that. She went crazy on me and da da da, and I was like,
System of a Down?
Yeah, yeah. She was like, get this deal on you. So she was like, it was just a crazy one of our epic fights, and then she was, you know, hitting me, blah 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 blah. But I was just so angry, and I started bang, punching the wall or whatever. And she's like, go on, do it! And she left. Now looking back, I'm like, she was scared. She was scared of me.
You never hit a stud, huh? Some people just have wild luck. Did you hit a stud?
Nah.
Did your hand go through the wall every time you hit?
Yeah.
Yep? So you just hit drywall every time.
Yeah. And she left.
Because you could have broke your hand punching into a stud.
She left. I'm sure I've done whatever. But anyway, she left the room. And I was just like, and I heard Mr. Manning go, Bethel, you can't do that to that boy. You can't
do that to that boy. What were you thinking when he said that?
I was just, he never got involved in that stuff. He'd just stay in his chair and watch his, you know, World War II documentaries or whatever. And he was just, He's kind of like Bill Clinton, you know, like, you know, Bill Clinton, I don't, you weren't really into politics at that time as we were kids, but Bill Clinton was always like, wow, you know, he just seemed very, like, removed from everything. So he was like, Buffalo, I can't do that. And I was on the bed, my hands were bleeding, I was like crying, I was like in a rage. And he came over and he sat next to me on the bed. He says, it's all right, son. You're going to be all right. You know, he had no words of wisdom or anything like that. I remember hearing
him. Did that help you at all?
Oh, immediately.
You're kidding me.
Immediately. I was completely, in a second. I was completely calm in 1 second. He just put his hand on me. He said, it's all right, son. Okay, it'll be all right. And then he just sat there for 2 seconds. And I immediately calmed down and he went back into the room. And I remember thinking to myself, this is what it's like to have a dad. This is what it would have been like to have a dad. You know, it was like that, just that male energy. And he stood up for me, you know. He was saying, like, you can't do that. You can't do that to him. So I remember thinking to myself, this is what it's like to have a dad. And then I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to do this for my son.
Oh, you do too.
So, like, I
see you do that to them all the time.
So I had, because I had that experience, like, that was it. Like, I, you know, I was like, wanted to have a kid and be able to, I never wanted to be married. But, so I wanted to have a kid and I wanted a boy specifically so that I could, you know, so I could do that. So, yeah. So whenever they're worked up and stuff like that, you know, I mean, it's not fun, but I like, you know, being able to chill out and being like, you know, just chill out, man. You're gonna be all right, you know, that type of thing, because I remember how important that was to me. But I only had one moment like that my entire life. So I'm saying, if I didn't have that moment, it's just funny because I'm sure he doesn't even remember it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure he probably doesn't even think he did anything significant, but that, like,
wow,
was my paradigm. I was like, I want a son and I want to be able to do that for a kid. So there's that and a baseball thing. We, this was...
What, baseball, you said?
Yeah, the guy was being a terrible father, actually. So
this other father?
So I was on the baseball team, and I was the best kid on the team, like shortstop, blah, blah, blah. And then there was this kid named Bryce, and his dad was the coach.
Yeah.
And Bryce's dad would sit him down, like, every other game. Bryce wasn't good. He was skinny, he was lanky, he was uncoordinated, and all the rest of it. And
did the kid want to do it, or the dad just wanted him there?
Oh, he wanted to play, and he wanted to be one of the boys and all the rest of it, you know, because, you know, everybody was playing football, so there was not a lot of baseball players, so, like, we were like, oh, it's cool, you know, blah, 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 and Bryce wanted to be, but he was terrible, he was a terrible player, and his own dad, usually the dad will, oh, my kid,
yeah,
you know, his dad be like, you're not getting this at bat, he'd be like, sit down.
You're not what?
At bat, like, getting out to bat. We were in a squeeze situation, and all around. It's a specific type of play, and he couldn't do it.
You can't rely on him. You're unreliable.
Yeah. So he'd say, you can't. He was just really realistic. I've never seen anything like it. Usually in sports, the coach, like me, I would be a terrible coach. I'd put Dorian's a quarterback. It doesn't. Even if there was somebody better than Dorian, it wouldn't matter. First of all, I don't think anybody would be better than Dorian at Dorian's age. No, because Dorian has the mental aspect of the game down. Most kids are just, you know, whatever, relying on athleticism and all that. And Dorian is tall for his age, and he's strong.
How do you know he's tall for his age?
He is.
What are you comparing him to?
And the kid next door is 15 years old. Dorian's just as tall as him.
Have you seen his father?
Dorian's just as tall as him.
Maybe he's just a short kid.
Anyway, so here's what happened. So we get to the end of the season. Of course, we didn't go anywhere. Our team was terrible.
Were you in Florida?
Yeah. We get to the end of the season. The guy comes up to me with Bryce standing next to him. And he said, Vin, you carried us. Hell of a shortstop. Great, great season. And I just remember being like, oh, okay. And of course, Bryce was, you know.
Aw, poor kid.
He wouldn't even look at me. But that was another moment where I was like, okay, like, this is what it's like to have a dad. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You know, because Bryce is all there feeling sorry. I didn't feel sorry for Bryce at all. Because he fucked up our chances so many times in the season. And secondly, he had a dad. Like, get better if you wanted your dad to affirm you like that. No, a lot of it was just, I spent the entire summer with Tristan and Floyd, and they were amazing, amazing players. But anyway, So I had those two moments. So I never had that, like, I'm gonna hold myself away from my kid. Like, I was always like, I want to have a kid so I can do that for him, because I never had it, you know. So anyway, that's what I think the song is about. But I also think that his singing, I think there's a combination of, like, his career gives you access to really dark places, and it lets you revel in darkness. Mm-hmm. His music career.
Uh-huh.
And it almost encourages it to some degree. You know, like, I was reading this interview one time with Jonathan Davis, and they had, Ross Robinson was the guy that did their first two records.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Daddy song.
Yeah.
That was with Ross Robinson.
Okay.
99.9999% of producers would have cut that whole part out.
Uh-huh.
But that's Ross's mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's the raw whatever.
Yeah.
So they did the first two records with Ross,
mm-hmm.
and then they worked with other producers. I think for their seventh or eighth record, they went back to Ross,
mm-hmm.
and Ross told Jonathan to get off of his antidepressants so that he could be crazy again. So my point is, like, there's certain elements in the music industry that like, especially in metal or new metal or whatever, that intentionally fuck you up because mm-hmm. they like the dark music, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's like, it's hard, I can imagine it being hard for him to be like, okay, like, I'm known for having this dark brooding music, but at the same time, like, I got this kid and he needs me to be a dad, and, you know, how do you balance both of those at the same time?
Dark brooding music.
It's not like happy clappy music. Listen to the first two songs they listen to. Well, they're pretty dark.
It's deep.
Yeah, deep is usually dark. The deeper you go into the ocean, the darker it gets.
I disagree with you. I don't think that Tool music is dark. I think it's deep, but I don't think it's dark.
I think
it's weighty, and it has value to it, and it's intellectual, and it's, yeah. But I don't
think that's
that
the opposite of dark?
No, I'm saying dark is, like, heavy, depressing, like, the topic is, I mean, we've done some dark.
We just did a song called Eulogy.
Yeah.
Where he said, get off the fucking cross.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it didn't have a dark feel to it to me.
Yeah. Well,
you're wrong. I'm right.
However,
I'm smart.
However you characterize that music, it's not like positive music that you'd sing to a child. The persona that you have to get into to sing that music isn't commensurate to being like a happy clappy dad.
No, but I think that children draw a depth out of you if you allow them to.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think that he's dealing with the conflicts of his musical persona, which whatever
and
you
being,
say, I think we'll just agree to disagree. I think Maynard's musical persona is dark. I don't think that it's like demonic dark, but that's not the only brand of dark that there is out there. So, like, Stinkfist, Eulogy, all these songs, what is it? The first song that we did, the I Will Only Complicate You, Trust in Me, and you know, the Sober song. Mm-hmm. Like, those are all dark characters to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think having to reconcile that with being a dad must have been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's probably still difficult. If I had that type of persona, you know, that's why, like, who I am on camera is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it helps me in my other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to, like, project a certain type of aspect of myself that was dark, and then have a kid and, like, a baby,
mm-hmm.
that's difficult, I think.
All right. Well, what do you give it?
It's a solid 7.5.
It's another 9 for me.
It's another 9?
I love the sound of it.
7.5, would you give it?
9. I enjoyed it.
Been out.
Sorry out.
Gone. I don't mind. I don't mind.